They got to find a way to, A, bring stability, B, bring in young, fast, tough players. And most important, they've got to stabilize the quarterback position.
Yeah.
And that's a tall order in that division.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
That was ESPN Sal Palantonio checking in on CBD live from the Combine. And if you want to stay connected to your Cleveland Browns for the latest Combine news, photos, videos, and more from the team, like them on Facebook at Cleveland Browns. Follow them on Twitter at Browns and on Instagram at Official Browns. Sal Pal talking about this team getting settled at the quarterback situation. Later on the show, we're going to talk about our top five takeaways from the Combine. But we do want to hear from you. What are you feeling about what the Browns should do at number four overall after watching the Combine? Has it changed your opinion at all? Are you more steadfast in your opinion? Let us know at 216-578-0850. And for me, I came away from what I observed there thinking that, yes, Sammy Watkins is amazing. But if there is a quarterback that the Browns feel can be this franchise quarterback and get solidified, take him at four, because the opportunity to get a very quality receiver at 26, and even in the second round if you want to draft two of them, absolutely exists.
I think the depth at the receiver position is a great thing for the Browns.
Yes.
It gives them the comfort of knowing that they'll get that position addressed sufficiently in a latter portion of this draft. I think the depth at receiver will carry on through the second round, possibly even into the third round. But, you know, you find a guy, it still has to come down to who you want and who you're fired up about getting and who you have a conviction on. But I think you can find that guy, the speed guy, the size guy, because all I saw among this group, and this isn't just what I've seen or what I saw on Saturday, on Sunday with these guys running and doing the agility work and catching passes, it's what you see on tape as well. Pete in Parma wants to join us right now. Hello, Pete.
Hey, how you guys doing today? Good to hear from you.
Great to have you.
This morning I was watching Mike and Mike, and they had Todd McShay on there, and he made a comment about all the quarterbacks, comparing them to certain people or who they would be compared to now. And out of 32 quarterbacks, he takes Blake Bortles and compares him to Roethlisberger and Flacco, which would put him in the AFC North. So I would say that would be my guy, would be to take somebody who fits in the AFC North, who can handle the weather, all the elements that come in the AFC North. He's a stand-up quarterback. He rolls around a little bit, but he only does it to create, which is what we need. We don't need that scrambler guy that goes all over the place. He's going to get crushed by somebody, and he's going to be out. I say you roll with Hoyer, you get Bortles, you pick up a wide receiver, maybe Marquise Lee with 26, and then move around from there and try and find your running back.
It's not Pete, those aren't bad thoughts at all, and we appreciate the call.
I get the sense from watching the Combine stuff and from talking to some people who were at the Combine that it would be at this point more of an upset if Bortles doesn't go number one.
Yes.
Is that the sense that you got?
I clearly, Nathan, and that's why I was, well, we could still include it in our takeaways, but that was one of my biggest thoughts, was how much he did to help himself. I wrote about it beforehand, and the fact that he went out there, and clearly you could say, did he have more questions to answer than Teddy Bridgewater and Johnny Football did? Yeah, he did, but they still got a lot of questions to answer. He just said, you know what? I'm going to take this test now and take the opportunity. And he went out and he nailed it. I mean, he went out there with supreme confidence, but not cockiness. He turned off no one with his attitude. It was very much, I'm happy to be here. I want to do this. I've been watching this thing since I was a kid, the Combine on TV. I have a chance to be here. Why wouldn't I want to participate? So he went out there and I'm going to use the word, it's going to be an overstatement, light it up. But I wanted to see that tight spiral leave his hand. I wanted to see how quickly the ball left his hand. I wanted to see his footwork. He's working with Jordan Palmer, who's giving him great instruction, and Jordan went over this with me, about setting his feet a little wider when he's in his setup. After he drops and sets, he said, just get a little more base, and it was to discourage him from bending his front left foot outward too much. He said when you've seen him throw those interceptions on tape and the issues about his accuracy, he said that's when it happens, when he slides that left foot a little too far to the outside.
Yeah.
He said that's when his problems come with INTs. He has been disciplining him, working with him to keep that left foot in. He said watch him today. This was before the workout, which I did. I was laser beam eyed on those feet to see how they would move and how they set up. He maybe had one or two instances where he kind of slid
it out a
couple times. But for the most part, I thought he was better at that. And again, this is draft coaching to get him ready for the draft. Imagine when he works with an NFL coach or NFL coaching staff, they'll be able to fix that because he's taken the coaching well. He's a bright kid. And the other thing is the ball leaving his hand. Mike Pettine talked with me about the difference between what he said was when you see a quarterback, when you hear us reference a, quote, big ball, that's not a compliment. That is a guy who doesn't have a strong arm. He said a big ball wobbles a little bit, and he said when you see this on film, you see the ball actually looking larger because it's not traveling at great velocity. It's got a little wobble to it, and you notice the ball. He said when you just see that tight missile-like throw on a rope, those out patterns on a rope that you need to see, that's what you're looking for. I saw on the rope out throws, out pattern throws by Blake Bortles.
I like Blake Bortles, and when I went through and I watched every snap of his this season, every throw that he made, my biggest concern with him was his footwork, especially on throws to the left hash and outside, because he tends to open up, he steps out to the left and back, opens up as opposed to exactly like Vic's demonstrating in the studio. But that's where he loses velocity and he loses accuracy. Yeah. And when he steps, when he throws down the middle of the field or to the right side, he never does it. He steps into his throws and throws a great ball. And I remember watching the game where he dueled Teddy Bridgewater, and he ended up winning on that last drive. He drove down the field. Every throw that he completed was to the middle of the field or to the right, and they were all to the right of the middle of the field, actually, on that last drive. That's where he's great. If he can open up the whole field with that kind of accuracy and power, he's going to be a stud. I like Blake Bortles a lot. The sense that I get right now is that he's going to go number one and that the Browns are probably actually maybe going to have their pick of Johnny Manziel or Teddy Bridgewater at number four, which is a good scenario, I think, for the Browns to be in. I thought it was interesting. You know, to me, when you talked about footwork and that's what they look at, I was really surprised that Teddy Bridgewater didn't throw, because that's where he would have dominated this combine.
Yes, he, you know, is 71% accuracy. A guy with no rush under perfect conditions, he's going to look great. Every ball is going to come out like textbook efficiency, exactly. And you're right. I thought it was foolish of him not to do that. I thought it was, I used the word unwise in writing for ClevelandBrowns.com. I was probably a little too kind. But I'm also saying with some understanding and talking with Ray Farmer, the Browns GM, about this, look, there are certain reasons why guys elect not to throw and want to save that for their on-campus day, or in Johnny Manziel's case, a personal pro day that he's having. He gets that. He said you got to kind of allow for that in your thinking, but you do like the kid stepping up to the challenge. It says something about him. It's the chutzpah that I think this Blake Bortles absolutely showed by being the one of these elite three, and it might very well result in him being a top overall pick. Why don't we get Gary, though, in? Can we get Gary? Gary from Middleburg Heights wants to talk with us. Hey, Gary.
Oh, hi, fellas.
How you doing?
Hey, look, let me tell you, on the whole docket of your station, you are the most professional.
Well, thank you.
Now, really, you are. Now, thank my you. Take is, I think the Browns are going to take Sammy Watkins and try to get Metzenberger second, third round. And I'd like to know what you guys think of Metzenberger. I see he's a fifth-rated quarterback. I know he has a knee injury. But he's 6'4", whatever. I'd like your take, you know.
Thank you for the call and the nice words. Go ahead, Jerry.
I do like Watkins a lot. Mettenberger is not the quarterback that I would choose. I think that he's kind of a statue. I think we've seen that. Could he be a better – and certainly there are quarterbacks that are statues that do very, very well. Don't get me wrong. But to me, that's not what they're looking for. The guy that actually – if you were going to go that route and take a quarterback later, I thought A.J. McCarron had a pretty good accounting of himself at the combine. He threw the ball pretty well, I thought. I don't love him. I love Teddy Bridgewater. That's why I want the Browns to draft.
Right.
And I love, and this is to answer kind of your question, then also to answer, we just got a tweet from Justin B. Merrick, who said, you guys can't tell me Watkins wouldn't be a good pick. Look at Marshall and Jeffrey in Chicago. I do think that Watkins would be a good pick. But watching those wide receivers there, I think the opportunity, let's not forget, Alshon Jeffrey was a second-round pick. The opportunity to get a receiver at 26 that you would pair with Josh Gordon and feel damn good about it certainly exists.
And I think that's the smarter way to go than investing that high a pick in a position that I think traditionally or historically has more risk to it, a receiver who is going to deliver everything you need him to. And it's, I know it's risky at every position at four. I just think it's the, I put that in the higher risk category where you don't have to make that investment there. He's going to go pretty high in this draft because just of that sheer speed and athleticism. But you can, I'm with you 1,000%. If you can go later to get that guy, it might even be on the second round. I'm good with that. And the other thought here is how I'm not, I mean, as much as Bortles might have made that case, I'm thinking, too, though, that Jadeveon Clowney got the attention of the Texans and will continue to do so. And part of me hopes so. But guess what? If the way this draft unfolds is if it's Bortles or Clowney, let's just say it's one of those two. And if it's Bortles, as you said, then you've got Clowney into the mix to think about with your possibly.
I think Atlanta's coming up to two.
Well,
that's like a lot of the talk.
That's a talk. That's it'll cause some movement. But I'm just saying, so do they move up to get him? Or if Clowney goes right to the Texans, now Bortles potentially falls into the mix. And do you have a shot at all three of the guys when you're on your board? When you're on the clock, I mean. That's just possible. All right, we've got a lot coming up. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, will get his combine thoughts next. By the way, Gerard Cherry joins us in hour number two. We'll get him aboard with us as well. Cleveland Browns Daily. You know we're driven by Liberty Ford, Nathan, right? That didn't change since you left. We're driven by drinks with little umbrellas in them. Today, just in honor of Nathan's
banana daiquiri.
Banana daiquiri.